From the authentic soul of Bernie Siegel, MD, comes Mind Health Matters, a show that reflects Bernie's passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges, not just the physical ones, so that each person can live life fully with the understanding that, as Bernie reminds us, we only have today. Believing that we are all here to love one another, each in our own unique way, Bernie has crafted eternal truths and the timeless wisdom of the ages. Join Bernie as he shares his powerful journey through life while offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom.
Good day and welcome, everyone. And yes, you're listening to Mind Health Matters with the Dr. Bernie Siegel. And we're a Dream Vision 7 broadcast here at 1510 AM, NBC Sports Radio Boston, where you'll hear Bernie's show every first Sunday at 8 p.m. And then he is also heard on our own station, Dream Visions, all one word with an S on the end, the number 7radio.com. And his show is heard Wednesday through Friday, 12 noon and 12 a.m. So you can catch it over there. And we're syndicated with a number of others. And Bernie's sacred wisdom, as I say, is spread through all the different states and countries and worldwide just by the glorious medium of radio. So, good day, Bernie.
Thank you, Deb.
The sun is out in New England.
Yes, it makes you feel better to have the light.
Absolutely.
I can't help it, but this morning, because I always say my definition of God is loving, intelligent, conscious energy. And I thought, the letters, L-I-C-E, the I-C-E spells ice, loving ice. And ice defies the laws of physics. When you freeze a liquid, it becomes more dense, heavier, and sinks, the frozen part. But when you freeze water, the ice floats. And that's the part that's so miraculous. I mean, you may think I'm nuts, it's just ice.
No.
But how it relates to our surviving on the planet, that instead of, ice filling up lakes and oceans and whatever, it allows for life to exist beneath the surface.
Exactly.
And protects him. And it's just, there's no way to explain life. It just is something fascinating. And, when you stop and just enjoy it in that sense.
Yeah, and even when you cut your finger, isn't it amazing the ability of, in a few days, it's completely gone?
Yeah, and you don't have to do a damn thing except cover it.
Yeah.
And again, that's why I think that we have such great potential that we haven't yet achieved, because our minds have to open to it and accept it to manifest it. I mean, somebody like Einstein wasn't a problem. You know what I mean? I mean, he thought in that way, and his mind was open. And too often, we don't have people like that. Everybody is thinking and they just don't have an imagination to go with it.
It's silencing the mind so you can connect with the universal guidance. And I wanted to ask you, Bernie, do you have time in your day? Do you sit quietly in silence every day?
If you had four cats, two dogs, and a wife, you're not going to sit in silence. But, I do take some time. I mean, when I walk the dogs, that is quiet time. I'm always fascinated by what I think about while we take them for a walk. What is going on in my mind?
Right.
And that's why this morning the ice subject popped into my head, because I do like to use it for some prayer meditation. And then there are other times, I will just stretch out. We have different mats here that are therapeutic, they're supposed to heal you lie on and so forth. And when I do something like that, like a treatment, then I just let my mind go, work on those things.
Right.
And, I try to find time.
Yeah.
And I pay attention to what I'm thinking.
Right. That is key. And then when we, catch ourselves in a thought that isn't to the highest good for everyone, we can change it on the dime.
Right. Yeah. And that's something I'm always working on.
Yeah.
Again, I find the mind is fascinating because I like listening to country, classic country western from, you know, 30 or more years ago. Yeah, but it's poetic, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean? It's about life, let's put it that way.
Yes.
So it could be romance, it can be tragedies, it can be all kinds of things. But then I'm fascinated by how the words, the lyrics, stay in my head. You know, it's like the last song I hear before you get out of the car or leave the house, and I keep singing in my head.
Yes.
And it's, again, who's in charge of that? Why do I keep doing that? No, I have to keep saying, hey, there's more important things than just singing the same song over and over again.
Yeah, but when you think about that, Bernie, when you're focused on the song, it lifts your heart, number one, and your frame of mind for that moment, singing. Not many
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I just, maybe yeah. we'll do this in a future program, and we can give people an assignment. What music you want played at your funeral? I mean, I could bring it up now if you want, but
sure.
I have to go in, you know, on my web, on my internet. But I think that, you know, the reason I say that is what's important to you? What music do you learn from? And so much of it, to me, you know, it's poetic. And so, yeah, these songs touch me. I hope I can find it.
Right. And if you're singing the song, you're not thinking of all the usual thoughts that go around and around in our minds.
This is what I presented to people. The next bit of work I ask you to do may get a bit emotional, but give it a shot. What songs do you want played or sung at your funeral? Mine is going to last a while if my family does what I desire. And a few years ago, I met a woman who was dealing with cancer, and she wanted to plan her whole funeral herself. And her kids were, you know, they were so nervous. I mean, she wasn't dying at that time. But, you know, they were just, Mom, we don't want to talk about a funeral. But she just kept persisting. And I said, let her do it. You know, she feels good about creating something. So she, you know, hired the caterer and just everything. And then the whole family enjoyed it and relaxed. But here were the songs I listed. Amazing Grace.
This is for you now, right?
Yeah, this is my funeral. Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me. You know, was blind, but now I see. The lyrics. Frank Sinatra singing My Way. I lived, I loved, I laughed, I cried. I traveled each and every highway. But more, much more than this, I did it my way. And then the song Vincent about Van Gogh.
Oh, yes.
Now I understand what you tried to say to me, how you suffered for your sanity. And on that starry, starry night, you took your life, as lovers often do. But I mm-hmm. could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for anyone as beautiful as you. Mm. And I have to say that sometimes I feel like I was Vincent in the past life, too, because I was an artist as a kid. And, you know, painting and doing, and that always felt so wonderful to create. I always say to people, you lose total sense of time, and you just go into a trance when you're creating like that. Then the Beatles singing Imagine.
Right.
Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may think I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. So won't you come and join us, and the world will live as one. And Danny Boy, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It touches me because I always say I was Irish in a past life, and I was called Brady then, not Bernie. And you'll find the place where I am lying and kneel and say an Ave there for me, and I shall know those soft ye tread above me, and all my grave shall warmer, sweeter be, and you will kneel and tell me that you love me, and I shall sleep in peace until you come to me. And I would add, besides the songs, think of what you want to put on the stone, because I got to mention this and I'll come back to it. You know, I want to put things on our stone. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. If I had to do it all over again, I'd do it with you. what bothers me also is seeing, you know, Mary Jones, wife of Charlie Jones. It doesn't say Charlie, husband of Mary. You know, it's like the women are always being submissive.
Right, and, well, that
was
back
wrong with saying wife, mother, grandmother, you know, but you don't have to identify by wife of. And the other is two of the stones. One is a fellow, it says, you know, lawyer and headed some company. And then, you know, the years and when he retired. And then shortly, of course, thereafter, he died because now he's no longer a lawyer who owns a company. If you look at his wife's headstone, she lives like into her 90s, probably 20 more years than him. And it doesn't say a damn thing on it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't say she did anything, ran anything, did. And that's the part, again, you know, he's busy. I'm a lawyer and I run a company. Look at what happened when you stop running the company.
Right.
There wasn't any reason to live. See? And
so we should actually change that. But it really goes back to the early day, hundreds of years ago, when they did list those the male first.
Well, this wasn't hundreds of years ago. I mean, this is relatively recent.
Right. But what I mean is they're not, no one's changing that. No one's stepping up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean in terms of the male dominance and head of the family and that sort of thing. Then we come to Stevie Wonder. I just called to say I love you, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah.
And I added, and don't forget, the only thing of permanence is your love. It never dies. The wind beneath my wings, you know, for you are
yes.
The wind beneath my wings. Let the rivers run. Let all the dreamers wake the nations. Old Man River. I love that song and that, what is it, Showboat, you know, the show, the whole show is just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You don't plant taters. You don't plant cotton. And then that plants them is soon forgotten. But Old Man River, he just keeps rolling along. You and me, we sweat and strain, body all aching and racked with pain. Tote that barge, lift that bale, get a little drunk, and you land in jail. But Old Man River, he just keeps rolling along. And I often say to people, well, I talk about the bloodstream being a river, you know, play with the words. And, yeah, you run into dams. You run into rocks, you change direction, but the water, that's why it's such a wonderful symbol, it keeps going. And it turns the obstructions into beautiful sounds, you know, like the ocean hitting the shore or
right.
The stream gurgling over the stones.
Just the noise,
yeah.
The sound is soothing.
Yeah. It's not whining, complaining, it's just turning it into something that relaxes you. And then
right.
The rose. Beneath the bitter snow lies the seed that with the sun's love in the spring becomes a rose.
Mm.
Oh, and some spiritual stuff. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me on, help me stand. I'm tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the dark, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home. And I always remember Barbara Streisand with Higher Power. There's a universal plan for every woman and every man, but in our darkest hour, it's hard to understand. Why did the right road take the wrong turn? Why did our hearts break? And why did we get burned? Just like the seasons, there are reasons for the path we take.
What a voice.
There are no mistakes, just lessons to be learned.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's okay. I'm seeing spelling mistakes as I'm reading this.
Oh. These are all songs that you want.
Yeah, at my funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
wow.
I got a few more if you can hold on.
Sure.
Not too many, but.
Go right ahead and
when you walk through a storm, hold your head up high.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of the dark. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. That comes from the show Carousel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know it, but in it, a doctor is asked to speak at a graduation. You know, and he talks about all the things he did to keep these kids alive, you know, and he wants them to live up to all the effort he put into them. But then he says, maybe you heard this song when you were a kid, when you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden light and the sweet silver song of a lark. You know, walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone.
Yes, then, I remember that. And keep your voice volume up, Bernie.
Okay. I get into the singing, you know, I sort of mellow out.
Yeah.
All my life's a circle, and that's true. But I can't tell you why. Season's spinning round again. Years keep rolling by. Because I was reading, if you think of life as a ring, you know, the circle is everywhere. It never ends. And the center is everywhere. And it's an interesting symbol. And then this one is the last one. Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer who's strong. We must make the trip successful from the cradle to the grave. Watch the hills, the curves, and tunnels. Do not falter, do not fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eye upon the rail. Blessed Savior's love will guide us till we reach that distant shore where the angels come to guide us to that great forevermore.
Mm.
I like that.
Yes.
You know, and that's why the poets, whether you call them songs or poets or... They just watch life and then write about it. And that's what makes it all so beautiful, you know, to listen. Not for distraction, because I always say we're so busy distracting ourselves with noisy music and things like that. But I was always playing music in the operating room and everything else. And it just changed people.
It lifts you, because I really feel that music is universal, and we connect with source that way.
Yeah, when I did a lot of children's surgery and I would play things for the kids, everybody in the room became a kid again.
Right.
You know, they would start telling you stories about their childhood, even if they were grandparents. They'd start talking about their grandchildren and all these cute, funny things, and everybody'd be full of energy and laughing and having, you know, having a good time. It's like you became family because you all became children again.
Exactly.
And the kids loved it, and it helped them relax. They didn't fear the operating room because it was filled with nice people, you know, and music.
Mm. I have to go back and ask you, you mentioned you'd want to write certain things on your stones. What would you want to say?
No, well, those two things I was saying, that you're the best thing that ever happened to me.
Okay.
And if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it with you.
And that's
you
for
know,
Bobby.
It's about love, yeah. And I see some of the stones in our cemetery, because I often walk the dogs there, that say, you know, I'd marry you again, things like that.
Yeah.
That are on it. And, you know, and some humor, too. I mean, my mother-in-law, though the family wouldn't let me do it, you know, she lived into her 90s. And when we'd have a birthday or something, she would always say, remember, my age is not a matter for discussion. Because I was so proud of her, I would like to tell people how old she was. And my age is not a matter for discussion. But the family wouldn't let me chisel that on her stone.
No.
I said we could leave off, you know, like her birthday or the day she died so nobody would know and just say my age is not a matter for discussion. But on my father-in-law's side, we chiseled in, he just fell up. And I've had people ask me that, and it is from a humorous story of his, that he... became quadriplegic, injured his spinal cord because he fell off his back porch when he got some bifocals, new glasses, and he missed a step and fell. And I was going to give a lecture to seniors, so I said to him one day, what would you tell seniors? He said, tell them to fall on something soft, you know, and we laughed, and, you know, I shared it with people. But a few days later, he said to me, what I told you doesn't always work. I said, what are you talking about? He said, they stood me up in therapy, and I toppled over on my wife and broke her leg. So tell them to just fall up.
I love
you know?
That.
And again, I thought that was a joke, too. But the evening, he was ready to die. And I say he was ready. He lived to 97 with all his troubles. He's an incredible guy. Mm. And we came in, I mean, my wife and his wife and myself, to give him dinner and his vitamins that night. And he was in a nursing home type setup by then because we couldn't manage him at home. So we went down to, you know, have dinner with him there. And he just looked at us and said, no, no dinner, no vitamins. And we knew he was saying, I'm going. Because I was encouraging him, you know, the crazy son-in-law, if you live to be 100, we'll get you on television.
Right.
He wasn't interested in getting on television at age, you know, 3 more years to get on television. And that night he died quietly with no problem at all. He just fell up. Mm. And I just felt it was so appropriate for his headstone to, you know, have that comment.
Right.
And sometimes when I'm standing around the grave, you know, decorating it or putting something there, people will say to me, what does that mean? And I explain the story to them.
I love it.
He also, I hope you don't mind my just sort of going on and on, but all these stories are popping in my head. But he taught me a lot about how much it means to care about the people you're taking care of. Because he, well, I guess we're going to have a break soon.
Yes.
When we come back, let me tell you this story because it has so much to do with caregiving and what it means to the people you're caring for.
Yes, let's do that. And I have questions for you as well.
Okay.
So everyone, don't go away. We'll be back more with Dr. Bernie Siegel.
Join us every second Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for the Nurturing Intuitive Children with Dr. Nikki Show, where you'll discover holistic strategies and techniques that support intuitive and empathic children in our homes, in schools, and in healthcare. Through our panel of distinguished guests, you'll receive parenting tips, education strategies, and holistic health solutions that'll help you improve the lives of these magnificent children and help their inner light shine even more brightly on the planet. Our program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings in the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Saturdays 2 to 3 p.m., Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Saturday, 2 to 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
And we are back, and you're listening to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Now, Dr. Bernie, as you know, has all kinds of books. I believe there's 13 or 14 books these days, and he writes articles, and you can send him an email and connect with him that way right on his site. And it is Bernie Siegel, S-I-G.
S-I-E.
I mean, S-I-E-G-E-L. BernieSiegelMD.com. Again, that's BernieSiegelMD.com. And now if you want to save on any of his books, what you can do is go on his son and daughter-in-law's site, which is wisdomoftheages.biz. Again, wisdomoftheages.biz. It's right in Connecticut. You can order the books online, and when in the comment box, you put code 27, and when checking out, you'll receive 15% off of all Bernie's items. So again, wisdomoftheages.biz, B-I-Z, that's an older one, and then code 27 in the comment box for 15% off. Now, getting back, you were talking about your father-in-law, so go right ahead.
Yeah, my father-in-law was in a nursing home and dying. He was had abdominal pain, was vomiting, and was really just wasting away. And I figured, you know, maybe he had some type of cancer, something was going on. But because of his condition being quadriplegic, I wasn't going to get him to the hospital and do 100 tests. You know, I figured if that's true, we'll just keep him comfortable. They finished building a nursing home, a new one, near our home. It's maybe a mile and a half away. And I thought, this would be great. We'll move him there, and then we can be with him, you know, in the last days of his life. Because we don't have a, you know, 20-minute, half-hour ride to get to him. And I said to them, I'm moving my father-in-law. They said, you can't. You're not his doctor. You don't have the right to move him. And if you do move him, you'll have to pay all his medical bills. I said, look, if he lives for a week, I can afford it. I'm moving him. So we move him to the new nursing home, a place called Willows. And I noticed within a day he was looking a little better. In a couple of days, he was eating again. And another day, the pain is gone, no more vomiting. He's smiling at people and eating three meals a day. And I thought, I am in big trouble. I'm responsible, and you know, for his finances, and he's not dying anymore.
Right.
I didn't want to tell him, you know, and have him feel guilty.
Well,
so
no.
I just went in one day and said, how come you're not dying anymore? And he said, I was dying to make them happy at the other nursing home. They were tired of taking care of me.
Mm.
Boy, that was one hell of a sentence.
I bet.
He was dying to do people a favor.
And think of all the other people in the nursing home probably feeling the same way.
Also, yeah, I got one more story I'll tell you then about nursing home. That, and he lived, again, as I said, till 97, many, many years, full of life and teaching everybody around him. It was just wonderful. But it shows how much it means to people to know that you care about them. Otherwise, they do you a favor. Yeah, you know, I'll die at night when nobody's here, because most people die in the hospital at night. You know, you're not upsetting the family. The doctor is not going to rush in and stop you, and you can go. But the other was, you know, after my telling all these stories, a nurse wrote to me. He said he was the only male nurse on this evening shift, and one of the patients was a woman who was in a wheelchair, and because he was stronger than the, you know, the women, he always picked this lady up out of the chair at night and put her to bed. And she would start talking to him about God and does God forgive you? And every night he'd say, yes, God will forgive you, don't worry. And one night he said, I forgot to go put her to bed, and I hear her screaming through the window, you forgot, you know, Ernest, come over here, you forgot to put me to bed. So he said, I'll be right there. And he goes back in, picks her up, puts her to bed, and she starts all over again. Well, God forgive you. And he said, look, why do you keep asking me this all the time? And he then went on to explain to her that he had a near-death experience, and he knew how beautiful that feeling was and that she shouldn't be worried and God would forgive her. And then he went home. The next morning, there's a note on his locker. Please stop to see the administrator. So he goes in. He says, what's going on? What do you want to talk to me? What did you tell Mrs. Jones last night? Why? What? I told her that God would forgive her. She's always talking about her troubles. And what they were, she had stolen silver from her parents, pawned it so she would have money to afford to get married. And she said, I never told them, and they never found out. And I've always felt so guilty. That's why I wonder if God will forgive me. And he said, you know, that's what I explained to her. God will forgive her. So what's the big deal? He said, and this is a woman who had not walked in 6 years. He said she came walking down the entire length of the hallway to the nurse's desk, put her teeth and her Bible on the counter, and said, I don't need them anymore. Walked back to her room, laid down, and died.
Wow.
What an incredible story, yeah.
That is incredible,
she'd
Bernie.
She spent 6 years in a wheelchair, see? And then the forgiveness, and she's up and walking.
Right.
And that's why we were talking before about the potential. You know, the ability to heal that, you know, if you don't mind the term God, that God puts into all of us.
I love
it's
God.
It's incredible, you know, that all these mechanisms that are in us. But I think that when we don't enjoy our lives, we put mechanisms in that help get us out of our lives sooner. But when you're loving your life and your body, you don't get mad at it for its aches and pains. But
right.
You love your life, you love your body, amazing things happen. You know, I keep saying, dear old Helen Keller, I've added her to my prayer list in the morning, you know, as one of my advisors and guides, because, she's such an incredible woman. I mean, when you think about it, being blind and deaf when you're 4 years old, how the hell do you learn anything? And she graduates from college with honors, writes books, becomes a teacher for everyone. I have her quote, a bunch of them on my desk, but this one right in front of me. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all. You know, how many people are willing to say that about life when they've got all their troubles, you know?
Right.
Let me read you a couple more.
I know you love her.
The marvelous richness of human experience would lose something of rewarding joy if there were no limitations to overcome. How many people do you know who think that? You know, they don't want limitations or troubles. Optimism is the faith that leads to achievement. Nothing can be done without hope and confidence. And one more. When we do the best that we can, we never know what miracle is wrought in our life or in the life of another. I mean, you
Absolutely.
Know, when you think, again, as I said, of her and all her troubles, and for her to talk that way, you know, nobody can come up to her and say, you don't know what I'm going through. I mean, she's
right.
a native, you know, she's going through everything.
Right, but she embraced
life.
Everything.
Yeah. She embraced and chose life. Yeah.
Exactly. Bernie, can I ask you, go back to your father-in-law, may I ask, how did he become a quadriplegic?
No, I had mentioned he got a new pair of glasses. This is many years ago when they were bifocals, you know, not the transition type thing. And because of the bifocals, as he went out of the back door of his house, it was a little porch with like 6 or 8 steps, and he missed the step, and he fell forward and injured his spinal cord.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why his comment was fall up, you know, or fall on something soft. But that's what happened. And it was a progressive, you know, problem. I mean, because of the injury due to things in his spinal cord, things got worse and worse. And pressure on the spine, you know, the spinal, the nervous part of it. I mean,
the nervous
know, people
system.
Don't think of the bone. Yeah,
right.
Spinal cord. And that was compressed, and then he lost all the feeling and, you know, could barely move his arms a little bit. So he really couldn't do much of anything. But, you know, he was there to think and laugh and
Right, and
people.
You spoke about how he had it all together in his mind until 97. And
yeah.
So if, you know, just thinking about senior citizens, many of the, when you get to be that age or even, you know, when you're 80s, people start to worry about everything, who's going to go first, if they still have their spouse and all the different things. And don't you feel, I mean, I can understand that. However, the worry actually is not conducive for living longevity.
Yeah, it doesn't help. I mean, from the Bible to everywhere, it tells you worry doesn't accomplish anything. I mean, yeah, if you have a sense of humor, you know, because as one guy said, most of the things I worry about never happen, so that's why I keep worrying. Then they don't
happen. Oh, gee.
You know, but it's, again, it doesn't accomplish anything. It has a negative effect on your body because you literally, worrying puts you into a protective mode. So, you know, meaning if you saw a snake, you could run faster, climb higher, you know. It's helping you to get away from something. And what it does in terms of stress hormone levels, what part of your brain is active, immune function goes down, ability to heal goes down, because it's in a protective mode, not into a growth healing place. But
right.
When you get out of worry, you know, into love, into kindness, into volunteer work, whatever, humor, then the opposite happens. Then immune function, the ability to grow and heal increases, and the stress hormone levels go down.
Right, and finding the beauty in the moment,
yeah.
Gratitude for the moment.
Yeah, I was riding my bike once on a trail through the woods, and I thought I saw a coyote or wolf on the path. I mean, it was this, and I was amazed at how quickly I spun the bike around, you know, to get away. Just seeing that and thinking it, interpreting it. And then as I took a good look, I realized it wasn't any of those things. It was a shadow with some pieces of, you know, like sticks from a tree that were there. And those things in combination had looked like a creature.
Sure.
But as I say, what impressed the hell out of me was I was already turning around, going the other way because of what my brain thought it might be.
Exactly.
And so the worry, you know, puts you into that place, which could save you. But if you live in that place, it's going to destroy you.
Exactly. Well, we need to take our next break, everyone. We'll be back in a moment.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and Faith, Hope, and Healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick, the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am Within. To create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are, there are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Join us the third Sunday of each month at 7 p.m. for The Door is Open, Walk Right In, for fascinating discussion topics from Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus, to psychology and tarot, to hypnosis, to strength-based recovery. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
The Dream Vision 7 Radio Network presents Kids for Love. Join Deborah Beauvais and her young co-hosts and celebrate kids making a difference. We invite other kids to join in for spirited conversation filled with creative ideas and possibilities to start your own mission. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world by getting inspired to help others in need. Kids for Love Project, celebrating kids that empower others. Callers into the show are in a drawing. It's every first Saturday at 2 p.m.
And we are back with the Dr. Bernie Siegel. I always like to say the Dr. Bernie Siegel because there's no one like you, Dr. Bernie. And if you want to get in touch with him, just go on his site. And there is a form there that you can fill out and connect with him. And he actually does reply. So it's Bernie Siegel. Siegel is S-I-E-G-E-L. BernieSiegelMD.com. So, yes, come on with the humor. And
well, you know, at the end of my columns, not always, but newspaper columns, I always like to put in something so people smile at the end. because, again, laughter is so life-enhancing. And this one I was just looking at in front of me, a pessimist is a person to borrow money from because he never expects to be repaid, and a pessimist feels bad when he feels good for fear he will feel worse when he feels better. That came from Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, I like
that.
How
these guys figure those things out. But then at the end of the column about, you know, like what songs would you have, this one is also from Rodney Dangerfield. My wife said she'd like to have sex in the back of the car. Now, what I do is put it all these things up at the front of the column and say, finish this sentence, you know, and the finish will be at the end of the article. So people can think about what they would put in, and then it comes. But the conclusion is, my wife said she'd like to have sex in the back of the car, and she wanted me to drive. And then, I will love you forever, swears the poet. I find this easy to swear to. I will love you at 4:45 p.m. next Tuesday. Is that still as easy? That's W.H. Auden. And then one my wife used to, when she did some stand-up comedy, was retirement is twice the husband and half the cash.
Say that again?
Retirement is twice the husband and half the cash.
Oh, gee. Yeah. So Bobby was a stand-up comedian?
Oh, God, yes. I can't remember all of her routine, but I used to have the first sentence of, 80 or 90 jokes. So that if she lost track, I could give her a few words and she'd get going again. But
Now, was she doing that when you first met her?
Yeah, because when I would lecture, I would stop and let her come up, you know, like to give people a break or at workshops. And what I began to realize is the laughter was so therapeutic that it was no longer – I didn't say to people, this is like a break, you know, to let you relax and – have some fun for a minute. I really pointed out to people how therapeutic it was for her to get them to laugh for 10 or 15 minutes. Because, you know, they're all sitting up straighter, feeling better, looking younger. And I would point that out to them. I'd say, pay attention how you feel right now. And then she'd come up and talk. And, and I'd look at the people and say, take a look at yourselves. How do you feel now?
Yeah.
And, boy, she would get more thank yous than I did, you know, and they realized how therapeutic it was. And what got me to notice that, because we used to switch seats. You know, I'm up on the stage. I'd introduce her. She'd come up. I would go sit in her seat. And one night it was too awkward to climb down and so forth. So she just came up, and that's when I watched the audience. And it really impressed the hell out of me how they were changed by the laughter. So from then on, I just made it a significant part of the presentation to point out to them the benefits of that. And we have studies now showing cancer patients who laugh for no reason, see, every few hours, live longer than cancer patients who didn't laugh unless something funny occurred.
Right.
Yeah, and I say that to a lot of people, you know, when they contact me. Laugh for no reason every few hours.
Right, and now they have laughing yoga where they...
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it really, I mean, I've done that in one class. I couldn't believe how uncontrollable the laughter became.
Right. It's artificial at the beginning, but then it's through your gut and everything and pure over time.
You know,
minutes.
You mentioned earlier about like meditating and so forth that sometimes when I'm out with the dogs, I'll just laugh for no reason.
Yeah.
Then I know people, you know, don't think I'm crazy. I mean, they'll think he must have seen something funnier. So if I'm laughing, you know, they're not judging their neighbor. But I found it is amazing how you just keep chuckling, and it's so hard to stop. And for no reason, you feel good.
Absolutely. So now, was Bobby a comedian when you met her, when you first got together?
Oh, she's always had a sense of humor. But no, I don't know how this all happened. You know, she began to put together some jokes, things she would read, and it just became this routine.
Yeah.
How the hell she memorized them all is beyond me. I mean, to just stand there and tell jokes, you know, for half an hour was really something. I mean, I always say to women, because she's taught me that too, your husband gets angry. How do you deal with him? What do you say? Honey, you're so handsome when you're angry.
Mm.
I can't stay angry if she says that.
Exactly, yeah.
And the other was, I mentioned we have all these animals in the house. If I raise my voice about something, you're upsetting the pets. You know, it's like, what the hell does that have to do with my problem? But you end up laughing. I'm upsetting the pets. Oh, excuse me. You know, and they are. They're all sitting around me looking at me like, what the hell did we do? You know?
Right. Right.
But I mean, it's those simple little statements. Wait a minute. See if I can remember them. This was the 10 Siegel warning signs. Because the Cancer Society had 10 signs, you know, like if you had blood in your urine or
coughing.
Yeah. It was if you put your bra on backwards and it fits better. You come home from the beauty parlor and the dog growls and won't let you in the house. Your husband calls and says he'd like to have dinner out, so you leave a sandwich on the front porch.
Mm.
You call your answering service, and they don't answer. You call suicide prevention, they put you on hold. You call the Missing Persons Bureau, they tell you to get lost. You go to your psychiatrist and say, nobody seems to pay attention or notice you anymore. And he says, next patient, please.
Yes.
You go to a gypsy fortune teller, and she offers you a refund. You open a fortune cookie and there's a summons in it. And the bird sitting outside your window is a vulture. I think I got them all. But, you know, so those were her 10 warning signs. If that was true, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cute.
I know.
Wow. So now do you help each other with humor if one is a little low?
Yeah. I always say today. That love, build your life out of the bricks of love, and the cement that holds them together is humor.
Yes.
Because, again, we were in the car the other day. I put this in one of my articles, and I don't know what I was grouchy and upset about. We had to go get some blood tests. I mean, it was just a nuisance. And, you know, and Bobby just started laughing at me.
Uh-huh.
And then I start laughing.
Yeah.
And immediately, the two of us are feeling good, and... You know, the troubles are gone. And it's just so, you know, so obvious how the humor and the laughter do so much.
Right.
And,
well,
and
it brings
you
to...
Even hearing her laugh at something makes me feel better. You know,
I bet.
Laughter has that kind of contagious effect.
Yeah, I bet. Well, because, you know, when you're laughing, you're in the present moment.
That's right.
You're not thinking or worrying or anything in your head. You're just laughing.
Yeah.
So you're going back to the purity of who you are.
And, you know, it tends to eliminate time. And that's why I say the love and the laughter, I think, are really the two things that, you know, that hold us together. Oh, why I'm saying that, I wrote an article on animals. And this also can make you smile. This was in an Ann Landers column back in 1999. If you can start the day without caffeine, because I really use this in my lecture. You know, I talk to people about, see, you act and behave as if you're the person you want to be. So you need role models. You know, my role model was WWLD, what would Lassie do? You know, people laugh. But it's really to think, if I were the person I want to be, how would I behave? See, what would I act like? And then you rehearse and practice. And I say, and here's the list. If you can start the day without caffeine, get going without pep pills, resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, overlook it when something goes wrong through no fault of yours and those you love take it out on you. If you can take criticism and blame without resentment, ignore a friend's limited education and never correct him, resist treating a rich friend better than a poor friend, face the world without lies and deceit, conquer tension without medical help, relax without liquor, sleep without the aid of drugs, and say honestly that deep in your heart you have no prejudice against creed, color, religion, or politics, then, my friend, you're almost as good as your dog. And everybody bursts out laughing because they think I'm really giving them a serious, you know, list.
Yes.
And then, boom, you're almost as good as your dog.
Yes.
And I'd say, you know, that's something, I always say the animals are really wonderful examples. That, you know, when you get these pictures of tigers raising goats, you know, a little baby goat, and
right,
instead of eating it, I mean, it's just this amazing relationship, and I think animals are our best teacher.
Exactly.
My wife is handing me a note, I'm afraid. Oh, yeah, she wants you to send a copy of our talk. She was sitting in the kitchen and heard it. She's enjoyed it so much.
Oh, wonderful.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly do that.
All right.
So we only have like a minute or two. What would you like to, I mean, you've shared so much wonderful information to take
well,
for the
day. Well, I
think,
you know, just like you say, we only have a minute or two. My reaction always at the end of, you know, when people interrupt me because they never stop telling stories, say, we're running out of time. It's to always accept the fact we're all going to run out of time. And to me, it's so therapeutic. I always say, death, what a great teacher you are about life, that understand you're here for limited time and take charge of your time so that others don't impose the life on you, that it's your life, your time, and you use it as you would like and love to use it.
Beautifully said, Bernie. I love you.
Thank you.
Everyone out there, till the next time.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.